I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Am I recording?
You are recording.
Hello there and welcome to Wiki Shuffle. I'm your host, Jack, and with me as ever is Chris.
Hello.
And Phil.
Hello.
And today, Chris, we are going to do what?
We are going to press the random article button on Wikipedia and talk about whatever it throws up at us.
Phil, anything you'd like to add?
That's it. That's what we do. We've just, as we're recording today, we've just found out that Team GB has finished second in the Olympics.
That's good.
Well done, I guess.
It's quite remarkable. Well done, Team GB.
No, I'm not bothered. I'm really not bothered.
You would be bothered if you'd won, like, a gold rowing.
I think I'd be good at rowing.
Yeah, like the rapids one, where they've got to go in between the things. I could see you doing that.
I can't.
No, I can't, no.
What do you say?
Shot put.
I knew you were going to say that.
Can we do a podcast?
Yeah, let's do a podcast. Let's see if we can't keep it a bit more focused this week.
Team GB.
After 2 weeks of meandering nonsense, let's see if we can't cover as much informative and accurate fact-based Wikipedia education as...
You're faffing. You're faffing about faffing.
Oh, no!
Going for education this week.
Education. Oh, you're going to learn stuff this week.
No, we're not.
You're going to learn stuff.
Let's focus for this one episode.
We'll focus, but I'm not going to promise I'm going to learn anything.
Oh, no, not you, the listeners. Oh. Expecting you to learn something, that would be setting our sights way too high. So we promised education, and education we shall deliver.
Something probably about war, politics.
History. Film studies. Let's go for something on film studies.
Mm. Okay, are we talking like Kubrick's techniques?
No.
Okay, are we talking about the...
Mise-en-scene?
Mise-en-scene in French 1960s cinema?
No, we're not.
Are we talking about Almodovar's use of women?
We're not talking about that either. No, we're talking about Spookies!
Ooh!
Spookies is a 1986 independent horror film remembered for its copious creature effects, its patchwork editing, and for boasting an effective soundtrack.
Sounds great.
What does patchwork editing mean? Just bad. Editing?
I think you can read, substitute the word shit for patchwork there quite happily, great. Can't you? Spookies was given a limited theatrical release in 1987-88 and a more widespread video release in 1988. To date, this film has not been released on DVD in the United States. A Night of Unrelenting Terror is the tagline.
Count me in. That sounds like a good film.
Spookies.
I'm sold. I imagine you'll get what you're paying for. Spookies.
I wouldn't pay.
I would.
Because I know what I'm getting.
Spookies. And more than one, which is good.
Every time we have a film-related article for Chris, you say you're going to watch it, and you never do.
No, because most of the time they don't sound that good.
It sounds quite difficult to get hold of.
It's got a poster, though. It's got all the things I like in it. It's got a...
Buxom lady.
A vampire. A blood font.
In the bottom left, is that sort of like a mix between Darth Vader and C-3PO?
Robot zombie man.
Zombie horde.
All the things.
So Spookies was directed by Brendan Faulkner and Thomas Duran, produced by Brendan Faulkner, Thomas Duran and Frank Farrell, and written by Thomas Duran, Brendan Faulkner and Frank Farrell.
From the creative minds.
The visionary director. That's how you have to describe directors, as visionary.
Well, none of these have a Wikipedia article.
That's very telling, isn't it? Nor do any of the cast until you get about the ninth person in, who is Charlotte Alexandra, is the only member of the cast with their own page.
Who is English, and she was known for a starring role in Une Vraie Jeune Fille, and she played a role of a 14-year-old girl who goes through a turbulent sexual awakening. The film was not released until 1999 due to its graphic depiction of sexuality, including explicit close-up of Alexandra's genitalia.
Mm.
So this is the high point of the cast of Spookies. Hardcore genitalia shots of a 14-year-old girl. That's the limit.
That's not what was in Spookies, though. That was in something else.
That was in something else, yeah.
Here's the plot, just to whet your appetites. A 13-year-old boy named Billy runs from home as his parents forget his birthday. Making his way through thick woods, he encounters a drifter who is violently slashed to death after Billy leaves. Billy stumbles on an old mansion where a room is decorated for birthday celebrations. Thinking it is a surprise by his parents, he opens a present to discover a severed head.
Oh, a chain of events.
Oh, it's like seven. Yeah. Does anyone ever open a box in a film without it being a severed head?
In Batman, Kim Basinger, she opens a box and a big hand pops out.
Any boxes that are opened aren't an item of a human...
No, it can't be done.
It's one of the rules of cinema. Mm. Phone numbers always have to have 3 5s in them. Mm-hmm. Likewise, any parcel wrapped in ribbon has to have a body part in it. Seems reasonable. Thinking it is a surprise by his parents, he opens a present to discover a severed head. Running away, he is attacked by the drifter's killer, a werecat with a hook on one hand. And subsequently buried alive.
A werewolf that's a werecat with the hook. That's not what I was expecting.
What were you expecting?
At first I just saw werecat for that's a twist, but then they added the hook. Oof.
Meanwhile, a group of teenagers and some older adults come across the mansion intending to have a party, believing the mansion to be abandoned. However, a sorcerer named Creon resides there.
It just keeps going.
Keeping watch over his bride, who he has kept preserved for over 70 years using an unrevealed method. But it is known that he needs human victims in order to do it.
It's convenient.
He possesses one of the teenagers in the group using a Ouija board and summons a variety of monsters to pick off the group one by one. These include muckmen.
What a muckman. A muckman.
Muckman. Just a slimy guy. That's what it'll be.
Muckmen. Muck. Small reptilian demons. Giant spiders. An arachnid woman. An octopus-like creature with electric tentacles.
Jesus.
A skeletal witch. A grim reaper statue. A vampiric...
It sounds like the Generation game.
A vampiric boy in a monk's habit, and a large group of zombies. Eventually, the entire group is killed by the monsters, and Creon hopes to preserve his bride for longer.
But so all of the protagonists just get killed off?
Yeah, to preserve his bride. Okay. But she escapes by killing him and trying to outrun the zombie horde around the mansion. The bride eventually is saved by a man who drives her away in his car. Creon regenerates out of a coffin as it is revealed the man in the car is actually the werecat.
Whoa!
It was the werecat all along.
Werecats can drive.
The camera pans on Creon's laughing face and the credits roll.
See, the thing about this is, all the protagonists do die because this is very much a villain story, much like a Suicide Squad. So,
tell me what happens in Suicide Squad.
Pretty much exactly the same, probably.
Probably, you've seen it.
Yeah, no, I don't know.
This sounds 20 or 30 times more entertaining than Suicide Squad.
Spookies. Doesn't sound bad.
Spookies started out as a feature film entitled Twisted Souls. The film started shooting in the late summer of 1984 and finished principal photography in October of the same year. The film Twisted Souls was being edited when creative and legal issues between the producers and the financial backer prevented final post-production work from being carried out. In 1985, the financial backer of Twisted Souls hired Eugenie Joseph to direct more footage, which was pieced together with the footage from Twisted Souls, creating Spookies.
Oh, so this is very similar to how bad films get made. Suicide Squad was the same thing. Loads of recasting, terrible editing, too many people being involved, too many monsters. And clearly too many monsters are in this film. I've got no point to that. I'm just saying that's how this film probably got. Wasn't the director's initial vision.
So you're holding out for a director's cut?
Hopefully.
Maybe.
What was so bad about Suicide Squad?
It's just rubbish. But not rubbish as in I might like it, because I like quite crappy films, but as in like this is just boring. And nothing happens.
The first 15 minutes is literally a PowerPoint presentation explaining all the features of all of the cast. Hmm. They even flash a writing on the screen to explain their points in bullet point form.
In a fun font. Got a lot of word art going on.
But Margot Robbie.
She's the best thing in it, but she's not very good.
Does that not cancel everything else out?
No.
No.
Wow, it must be bad.
The added footage by Joseph with an entirely different cast includes all the footage of the boy looking for his birthday party, Man in Tree, Catman, Old Withered Magician.
Did we speak about Man in Tree? I feel like that's quite a pivotal plot point that we missed out, Man in Tree.
Catman, who I assume is the werecat, the Old Withered Magician.
I didn't even make that connection.
The Girl in the Coffin, The Zombies, The Witch in the Basement and Cave, and The Little Blue Boy. None of these were even mentioned in the huge list of monsters. The film was given a limited theatrical release in the United States by Sony Video Software Company in January 1987. It grossed $17,785 at the box office. Ooh. It was also released theatrically in Hong Kong.
Sounds great.
And let's just have a look at the IMDb. Guess what score it gets?
3.
Chris?
7.
Bang in the middle, it's dead on 5, which is not...
That's not terrible.
I mean, it's a score on IMDb where you just wouldn't watch the film. Because anything under a 6 on IMDb and you're like, no, that's bad. But that's still quite high considering, you know, how awful it sounds. And the trivia, the first bit of trivia on there is the executive producer Michael Lee came up with the idea for the Muck Men to make farting noises.
That's weird. No name.
Happy birthday, Billy.
Ooh. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It looks like a piece of work.
It does indeed.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that by the time we next record, we're both going to have watched that.
I can imagine.
Chris?
So, that looks good.
It looks like I need to have seen it.
Mm.
The good thing as well is that the release date for the film was January 1988, which is when our release dates were.
Yeah, it was. It's wow, what a coincidence. It must be fate.
Judging by the trailers, it did look a little bit like Chris's birth.
Bathroom singing, also known as singing in the bathroom, singing in the bath, or singing in the shower, is a widespread phenomenon.
It is. Everybody does it.
Does that make it phenomenological?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no reason for it. I don't know why I do it.
Do you sing in the shower?
Yeah.
Do you shower?
Shut your mouth.
So you do shower, and you do sing?
Of course, everyone sings in the shower.
Yeah, but what do you sing, like, low songs?
Yeah. What do you sing?
Well, I don't sing like Yo La Tengo's greatest hits. I'll sing something fun.
Like?
This morning, because it was on the radio yesterday, I sang Reach for the Stars.
There, see, that's a shower sing along that I'd like to have. Yeah. Not with Chris, that'd be weird.
Oh.
With Rachel Stevens. You should know all the words.
We've been over this, and I would choose Tina if I was going to have a shower
okay.
or any of this.
What
stuff.
If? Tina said...
We'll be back on S Club.
What if Tina said, we'll have to have a shower. We can have a shower together.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Fun, so it'll be fun. But the only other thing is you've got to have fill-in as well. You've got to be there. Just not getting involved, just having a watch.
Just watching.
No, you're not even properly watching, but he's aware of what's going on. He's just got to have a watch.
How big is the shower cubicle?
Just a standard shower. Just standard daft size.
I don't appear to have any say in this at all.
No say.
Okay, so...
Okay, I'm there.
So Phil's trying to wash himself.
Phil's trying to wash himself, and he knows that this is happening. He's not happy about it, but he's got to do it for some reason.
And me and Tina from S Club 7 are just soaping each other up.
You can be doing what you like. Phil's not involved, but he's just there, having a shower.
I am 100% happy with this.
Okay.
Because when else am I going to get to soap up Tina from S Club 7?
And I get to watch Tina from S Club 7 being soaped up.
Yes, but by
him. You're not involved. You are. It's just like a swimming pool situation where people are just having a shower.
Also, I wee in the shower, so...
You do that with Tina there?
Yeah. She'll think it's the hot water going down her leg. It's fine. It's funny. Breaks the ice. Yeah, yeah, I'm fine with it.
That's all I need to know.
Phil, I reckon you wash your legs. Like your shins. I reckon you wash your shins. You actively, like, scrub your shins. It just seems like a very, like, 1950s thing to do. So I imagine you're doing it.
How do you clean your shins?
I don't wash my shins. I just let the water run on. Like, that's fine. That's enough.
I feel like they get a going over. I wouldn't say they get a scrub.
Yep, I'm thinking he's down there scrubbing them.
Well, like a hard brush. I imagine you're a hard, like a shoe brush.
A hard scourer.
that I have like
and you
a
just
shower.
Bent over, scrubbing your shins, bumhole exposed. That's what I imagine. That's what made me think maybe I don't want to do this with Tina.
Because of my exposed bumhole.
And your shin scrubbing, yeah.
I'm not sure that I want this conversation. We're going there anyway. Mm-hmm. So what techniques... Forget about Tina. Tina's off the table because that wasn't really something that could be offered up. Let's be fair.
No.
You're not like Tina's manager.
That's not how I'd manage her.
I've got you a gig.
I'd get the Tina solo career up going. This is just... That was just a hypothetical situation.
But I am kind of interested in other people's showering techniques.
Of course you are.
I have, like, a shower poof. You know the type I'm in?
I know what you mean.
The kind of nerdy nylon lump
thing.
Yeah,
sure.
And I would use that for an all-over lather, including the shin. I wouldn't neglect the shin.
I'm with you on that.
If I was going to go for the whole lot, but when I'm showering, it's mainly focused on armpit left, armpit right, groin and arse. That's like the main four areas that you want to cover.
Well, no, you want to cover all the areas.
Yeah.
Sure, but you want to give extra care and attention to the main areas. I'm not going to spend... I reckon you spend upwards of a minute scrubbing your shins.
No,
I think you do. That's what I have in my head, so that's what's happening. I think you're like, you're down there and you're scrubbing them. Like,
what do you imagine I'm doing to get my shins this dirty?
I don't know, but I just think you... I reckon you have like a back scrubber as well.
No.
Because what do you do about your back? You don't actively wash your back.
Well, I tell you, I would rub... I'm miming having a shower, so I would do...
But there's going to be parts of your back that you're just not going to be able to get to.
No, that's just going to have to get serviced by water and gravity.
Yeah. But in your head, I think you can imagine a really hard brush, one of the ones with a stick, and every now and again you'll say something like, good grief.
Oh, what I've found on my shins.
Do you shampoo your beard?
I use the runoff of the shampoo to wash my beard. Yeah,
I'm worried this is turning into much of erotic fiction.
This is fact. Yeah. Erotic fact.
So what utensils do you both use?
No utensils.
A spoon.
What do you do? Trim your pubes with a knife and fork?
Yeah. Carry on. Well, how does showering work for either of you?
I use the same thing. It's like, I don't know what word you would use.
I used a poof. I used the word poof.
That's what we're going for. It's like that. Like a spongy thing, but it's not spongy. It's more fun.
So you would apply some shower gel to that.
Shower gel.
Because obviously nobody uses bars of soap.
Nobody does. And then that would be, I tend to work top to bottom. Get overall coverage. And then once I'm satisfied, I end the shower. I usually say it like that. Shower end, and then that's the end of the shower. After I get through probably a few S Club 7s.
You mean the songs, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, right. If it was just a random man with Tina, I'd be fine with it. If it was a, you know, Ryan Gosling or someone, I'd encourage it. But it's because it's you. That sounds mean. It's because I know you. That's what would make it awkward. So to come back to our central...
Conundrum
here. That's why I would have to... I'd go for it, but I wouldn't feel comfortable. Entirely. Would you do the same with Hannah from S Club 7? Me in the shower?
It's a tricky one. I would. With regard, I'd do it with Joe.
You'd soap up racist Joe.
Racist sneaking in too.
It's not exactly like a moral quandary, is
it?
It's
not, but I'm making these rules in place.
I think any of my friends, it would be weird. Regardless of gender, it would just be an odd experience. If it was just a random stranger... Who cares? Get involved.
Consent seems to be the important factor here that we're perhaps overlooking.
Yeah, Tina's fine with it.
Okay, good. That's clear.
Yeah,
that's
we have to take that as read, because otherwise...
Because if she's there fighting him off in the shower and I'm not allowed to do anything, I'm not okay with that.
Altogether. It's Tina's idea.
It's hard to fight someone off when everyone's all slippery.
Exactly. So. And I'd have to get involved then. Not involved. The article's about bathroom singing.
Yeah, okay.
This is us focused on learning.
Yeah,
education. We promised education.
I've learned how you wash.
I didn't expect to learn that today.
Do you not use the thing?
I use a thing. I just don't spend inordinate amounts of time on my shins like Phil does.
See, I can spend a lot of time in the shower,
mm-hmm.
But it's not shin time.
Dare I ask?
It's just
thinking. It's a thinking time.
Yeah.
I spend a long time in the shower. It's a big time for a big think.
That's poo time. It's a good think. No, actually, it used to be. Now it's just like read Twitter.
The opposite of thinking.
Listening to other people's inane thoughts.
Yeah.
I like to have a really nice hot shower. listeners, just so you know, and just have a think about, like, what am I doing today? Wonder what's going to happen. And then just finish up the shower. And then I stop thinking.
For the rest of the day. Until you shower the next day.
It's been a review.
Yeah, your allotted thinking time has been used up. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Backs up what I know about you.
Yep.
Many people sing in the bathroom because the hard wall surfaces, often tiles or wooden panels, and lack of soft furnishings create an aurally pleasing acoustic environment.
That's bullshit.
It's not.
That's not why I do it.
You always sound great in the shower.
Every
time I sing in the shower, I convince myself that I've got an amazing voice. Every time. But apparently, it's only above average.
The multiple reflections from walls enrich the sound of one's voice. Small dimensions and hard surfaces of a typical bathroom produce various kinds of standing waves, reverberation and echoes, giving the voice fullness and depth. The habit was reported with an attempt of explanations centuries ago. For example, Ibn Khaldun, in chapter 1 of his Muqaddimah, writes, "Likewise, when those who enjoy a hot bath inhale the air of the bath so that the heat of the air enters their spirits and makes them hot, they are found to experience joy. It often happens that they start singing, as singing has its origin in gladness."
Nice way of putting it.
The bathroom singer is an ironic reference to mediocre or amateur singers. This effect was not used only by singers. Paul Simon wrote, "The main thing about playing the guitar, though, was that I was able to sit by myself and play and dream, and I was always happy doing that. I used to go off in the bathroom, because the bathroom had tiles, so it was a slight echo chamber. I'd turn on the faucet so the water would run. I like that sound. It's very soothing to me. And I'd play in the dark. Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again."
Now that is terrifying. If you did that, if I lived with you and that's what you did, that was your like thing you did after work, I'd think more so that you were a psychopath.
Well, I'm just wondering what Garfunkel's doing in this.
Old Garfield.
He's probably eating lasagna in the kitchen.
Probably, yeah.
While Paul Simon's singing in the bathroom in the dark. What's Garfunkel up to?
He's in the shower.
You reckon in the darkness?
Yeah, with Tina. "There's more to life than this. The fourth track on Björk's 1993 album, Debut, was recorded..."
Debut?
What is the debut album?
The debut album from Björk. It's called Debut. And then, next album, Post. I love that track, and I love that bit. She goes into the toilets and just keeps on singing, and it's really odd, really charming, as Björk can do.
It was recorded live in the toilets of the Milk Bar nightclub in London.
"I could make a boat and sneak off to this island. I could bring my little jet to blast. There's more to life than this.
Ready for some more education?
Yes,
education.
Hang on, can we just talk about what we've learned so far?
I learned how you wash. Spookies is something that might be good. That's it.
Yeah, how many things do you want to learn in a day?
One would be nice.
Well, let's see how much you already knew about Bobby Hoffman then,
Never
shall we?
Never heard of him.
Well, then you've learned something already. There was once a man called Bobby Hoffman.
I figured there would have been.
Bobby the Truth Hoffman. You didn't know that, did you?
Oh, is this a conspiracy man?
Nope, it's a mixed martial artist.
Not what I expected you to say.
Jeez. Phil's regressed.
Bobby the Truth Hoffman, born October 28th, 1966, is a retired American mixed martial artist who competed in the heavyweight division. He is the former King of the Cage super heavyweight champion, as well as the former King of the Cage heavyweight champion. Having made his professional debut in 1998, Hoffman has also formerly competed for the UFC, rings, and Jungle Fight.
Jungle Fight? That's a new thing.
Jungle Fight, yeah. It's where you dress fight up in as Tarzan and
you're
swing
lying
from
you're
vines.
Lying to me.
You fight from vines.
He's not telling the truth.
He's not, Chris. He's not.
See, yeah. I am learning something.
I don't Phil lies.
When people are lying to me.
Hoffman found mixed martial arts, then known as shoot fighting, after being released from jail, spending 92 consecutive days in solitary confinement for assault charges. Ooh, so he's a bad un. Hoffman, a talented wrestler and football player, attended Ellsworth Community College and the University of Akron before leaving college a year early to compete in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns. Hoffman spent half a season with the team before being released. 2 days out of jail, Hoffman attended a local fight, and after the originally scheduled fighter did not show up, spectators were actually asked if they wanted to step in for the absent fighter. Hoffman accepted the challenge and won the bout. That doesn't happen in the real world.
No.
So
the guy didn't turn up, and then the person, the ref, said, "Does anyone here want to have a go with this guy?" And he's there, and is that what basically happened?
That's what happened.
They should do that at weddings when there's a jilting.
That's another thing I don't think happens. I don't think jilting happens anymore.
It does.
No, who gets jilted at the altar?
Losers.
Do you know anyone that's ever actually happened to? No.
People end up not getting married, but you wouldn't get to the point at the church and someone just doesn't turn up.
Yeah, that would be a knob end thing to do.
The only situation you could see it happen was if it was like me and I fell asleep.
Yeah, that's possible.
That's a jilting, but not a jilting because he didn't want to do it. A jilting because I was tied up to something or just asleep.
I think jiltings happen probably like when someone finds out they've been cheated on. They'll be like, right, I'm going to pretend I'm going to go ahead with a wedding and I'm not going to turn up.
This is
so you. I bet you could do that and you could be engaged to someone for like a year and it'll be like, I'm gonna wait because I know this. I'm going to build this up.
Yeah, so you get the maximum like enjoyment out of the horrible situation.
And
spiteful.
Then the joke's on you.
It's incredibly spiteful. And there is no way that you would come, even no matter what the other person had done, you're still going to come out of it looking like an absolute ring piece.
Like that Alan Partridge thing of, and then I had the last laugh. That's the sort of person you come across as.
I'm fine with that.
It doesn't say what he was doing in prison.
Probably beating people up.
What said he was there?
It was
assault.
In solitary, so it's...
Beating people up in prison and out.
Mm. Hoffman compiled a professional record of 8-1 before making his debut for the Super Brawl organization in Hawaii on September 7th, 1999. Then Hoffman knocked out the future UFC heavyweight champion Rico Rodriguez. After following this up with two more wins, Hoffman was invited to compete for the Rings organization in Japan.
Probably more fighting, but on rings like in Gladiator.
No, like in Gladiators. Not in Gladiator.
Yeah, Gladiators.
Never happened in Gladiator.
Never happens, man.
Hoffman made his Rings debut, which was also his overseas debut. I didn't realise how often I said debut.
Well, you've said it right, at least, this time.
On February 26, 2000, in Tokyo, Japan, at the Rings King of Kings 1999 final, Hoffman faced Georgia Olympic freestyle wrestling competitor Zaza Tekeshlavishlavi.
You said that really convincingly.
I know, but it was completely wrong. Whom Hoffman defeated via knockout only 34 seconds into the fight. After winning his next four fights, two of which in the Rings organisation, Hoffman was invited to compete for the UFC. I've heard of them.
Yeah, that's the big one. Boring to watch, though, I find.
You think?
Yeah, well, because, I maybe have not seen enough, but doesn't it involve mostly them just having a big hug and then rolling around on the floor?
There's a bit of that.
It seemed fairly cuddly, the bits that I've seen.
Very cuddly.
I grew up with a wrestling fan, so, you know.
You'd love
I'm into
cuddle.
The cuddling. But I'm into the glossiness of WWE too much for me to really enjoy UFC. They just don't have cool characters and, like, excellent ring attire. And fun theme music.
True. They just got their pants on, haven't they? At least when you're wrestling, I suppose they've got their pants on, maybe a funny mask.
It's a variety of outfits. To be honest, I'm surprised you're not into it. You love an outfit change.
I do love an outfit change, but I just...
Hoffman made his UFC debut against former UFC heavyweight champion Maurice Smith at UFC 27 in 2000. Hoffman, who seemed to lack cardio and conditioning, lost the bout by a unanimous decision. I'm getting a bit bored. I'm kind of being educated.
You wanted, about something you don't care about.
You wanted education. So you've learned a lot.
I'm not going to retain any of this. Mm.
This is all boring, so skip to the post-UFC section.
He did some more fighting. Post-UFC, after spending a year in prison for domestic abuse...
Oh.
It's taken a turn. A rapid turn. After spending a year in prison for domestic abuse, Hoffman returned to mixed martial arts competition for the King of the Cage organisation. You know, if I was a King of the Cage organisation, someone said to me, I've just been in prison for domestic abuse, I'd say, you know what? I don't want you associated with my sport. I'd like you to piss off.
And that's why you're not in charge of the King of the Cage competition.
I know, I had to turn them down when they offered. Hoffman became the first King of the Cage heavyweight champion in his second fight back after the... after a technical knockout win over Jason Godsey, and then defended his title against Paul. It's got boring again. I want to know more about his wife-beating arseholiness. Won via armbar submission before returning to Brazil for a bout in Jungle Fight 3. Yeah, that's an appropriate yawn.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a genuine yawn.
Hoffman was dropped. This is personal life. This is where it gets a bit more interesting. Hoffman was dropped by manager Monty Cox after reportedly threatening to kill Cox's wife and children while Hoffman was fighting in Japan. He sounds like a thoroughly nice human, doesn't he?
I'd drop him.
If anything, this article is definitely guilty of not explaining exactly what his crimes were. So a vague suggestion of domestic abuse, a threat to kill. He was in prison and solitary for unknown reasons. Mm. This isn't a nice man.
But he goes into so much detail about his career and misses out that he's such a prick.
Mm. Hoffman and his girlfriend Patricia wed the night after Hoffman's UFC 34 loss to Josh Barnett. Weeks later, on the night of their honeymoon, Hoffman, under the influence of alcohol and Vicodin, severely beats his wife. He was later arrested and spent over a year in a maximum security prison in Shafter, California, for his actions. His wife, who was only 20 years old at the time and around 125 pounds, almost died as a result of her injuries, two later divorced. And he got to spend just a year in prison and then got to just take up being a professional sportsman again.
What a dick.
Justice, eh? I've looked at the images and he very much looks like the type of man who would beat his wife. Is that a terrible thing to say?
I think you know that he did beat his wife, so it's not a terrible thing
to say. If I said this guy did something, was it... He gave money to an orphanage or he beat his wife. What would you say? You'd say beat his wife, wouldn't you?
I would, yeah.
Don't judge a book by its cover unless it looks like that.
Bobby the Truth Hoffman. I hope that he's living a horrid, horrid life now. It's probably not. He's probably got shitloads of money from all his fighting, isn't he? Living in a mansion somewhere. Do an outro now.
Goodbye.
Episode 90.
Goodbye.
Do it now.
Look how annoyed his face gets when anybody but him does something.
If anybody other than him is annoying, it's the worst thing could possibly happen.
Before we done this, he put his naked foot on the chair right next to me and started peeling his feet.
And that was fine.
You can't say out of context.
Out of context.
You can't say out of context. There's no way. That was exactly what happened.
That was the context. And it was disgusting.
No, but the context for my feet peeling is that I wore some exfoliating socks for an hour.
Why does that matter?
That your skin fall off so it's, it removes all the hard, dead skin.
Who cares?
And then you've got lovely soft skin. So now I've got lovely soft skin.
No, but I've got to hoover up bits of your skin.
And I was still offended by it.
It's gross. Disgusting. You're disgusting.
Sure.
And you were specifically asked by multiple people to stop, and you didn't repeatedly.
You just did it closer.
But
you've got nice feet.
Yeah, they're very smooth now.
So like, this is the problem.
Why aren't you happy for me?
This is why he's a psychopath. Because he looks at things through the eyes of, yeah, but it's fine, because I am okay. I'm fine. It's all worked out for me.
But why is it bother you?
Because gross.
This disgusting.
But why
foot
is it
skin
gross?
All over my floor?
Oh, it's not
because
all over your floor.
Foot skin. Foot skin is inherently gross. Are you making the argument that foot skin is not gross?
Yeah, I think you should just grow up. It's fine. It's a bit of skin. Look, you're not like creeped out by it when it's on my hand.
Yes, I'm just creeped out by you in general.
Well. Maybe.
And I'm going to have to watch you and Tina lather each other and I'm not even allowed to join in.
Will she lather me?
I don't. Well, in a situation that she wanted to, but in reality we know that would never happen.
You know what, I'm going to put those exfoliating socks on Tina and then 10 days later we're going to have a good peeling session in the shower.
You sound like a serial killer. You really do.
And then I'm going to collect all of mine and Tina's skin together.
And make like a chair or something.
And like make it into a ball. I'm going to post it to Wikishuffle HQ for Phil to open. Yeah. I've just got right these socks.
Our friend Brenda uses the socks.
I don't care. Don't care
They're
about
fine.
The socks. Don't care about them. You can do this in the comfort of your own home.
But you are doing
things with the skin. The thing you are doing is making a mess.
I thought I was with friends. I thought this was a safe space for my feet.
It isn't. It isn't.
That's why you made the mistake.
Let us be very clear that it is not. And now the rules have been set. You can never be under that understanding ever again.
Okay. All right, I've got it. So you don't want me to remove my skin whilst I'm in Wikipedia.
Probably, I don't want you to remove your shoes and socks and all your other bits.
Oh, they're, you know, you just want to have your feet out, don't you?
No.
No, I don't get that. Personally, if you do it quietly and you don't cause a scene and don't wave your socks around.
Do you want them in your face? Do you want them in your face? Do you want me to throw them in your face? Here, hold my socks. Do you want me, look at my feet. Oh, that's gross. All the time.
Yeah. If you just do whatever you do, just quietly,
yeah,
then that's okay.
I'll remove my skin quietly next time.
No. The skin removal is never okay. You are allowed to take your shoes and socks off if that makes you feel more comfortable, but with no waving around of the socks.
There's been times, right, Phil, I'm telling you this now. There's been times where we've been doing an episode and you might have been in the middle of reading something, and if he's been eating something, it'll just look me in the eye and open his mouth.
That's like a classic
like
manoeuvre.
Attention child.
That is a classic
And he knows I can't tell him off because you're halfway through.
That's just like, that's vintage. Like, you're not gross all the time.
Nowhere near as gross as you when it comes to being here.
Oh yeah, here, but like, in general, you're pretty gross.
Nope.
Phil, you're gross. No one could look at either of you and say categorically, no, they're not gross.
I think they could.
I don't think they could.
Human beings are inherently gross. That's the problem with being human, is that you do, out of necessity, have to defecate, and you do have to do all the unpleasant things
have
associated
with
your body.
Have I ever done that in the office?
Body. Yes.
No. I've done it in the toilet in the office last week. But that's fine.
That's fine, yeah, because you've agreed to the social contract that we engage in, which is when you're around other people, you pretend that those disgusting things don't go on. And you
but
keep,
I just
you
think, why do you do
off.
That? It's pathetic.
Because
we all
it's
do
disgusting.
It. We all
because
peel our skin.
It is disgusting.
So you're saying that if I'm doing something that I know other people find uncomfortable or disgusting, I shouldn't do it.
Yeah. Why is that a problem?
Yeah,
for you?
What you're describing there is a little thing called empathy.
Why is that such a problem for you to grasp? Not just the concept of empathy. Honestly, that serial killer.
It's like it's never occurred to you.
All right, I'll try harder. I'll promise to try.
That's what Ted Bundy would have said.
In a way, it's the opposite of Ted Bundy. Because Ted Bundy wouldn't have been like,
no, he was clean.
Oh, look at his skin that I'm peeling off. In front of people, he'd have been hiding it in his little skin collection at home.
You just leave your skin in.
Whereas I'm just like, look, this is happening to my feet. This is the stage. This is the transitional stage that my feet are going through at the moment, where they're going from hard, horrible feet, and they're going to blossom into a beautiful, smooth.
So all you're saying is that you'd not be a very good serial killer
because you'd have to show it off the whole time.
I don't know what I'm saying.
A showy off one.
Look what's in this box, everybody.
Next time we meet up will be in 2 weeks and my peeling will have been done, okay?
You'll find something else, though. I don't want to have to do an item-by-item specific list of things that aren't acceptable.
The rules.
Because I can't include everything. You will find a way around it. What I want you to do is put yourself in our shoes. Not
oh, yeah, okay.
No. I want you to imagine what your actions might make us feel.
How do you mean?
That's the problem. That's the problem right there.
All right, I get it. I don't get it, but I'm going to try.
Very good.
Are we done?
I feel exhausted. Thank you very much for listening, everybody.
Yeah, I'll do that bit.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, Rev. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Twitter @WikiShufflePod, wikishuffle.co.uk, wikishufflehq, Kettering, NN157ER1B, the Headlands. Got the address in the wrong order. Bye.
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 Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.